Welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Welcome to yet another episode of Clown Takes. We've got a doozy for you on this week's episode. A certain radio host in Boston has proposed a trade or a trade idea that has definitely ruffled some feathers and definitely perked our ears up. So we're going to dive deep into that one. I'm your host, Jason Kelly, coming to you from Canton, Massachusetts. Joining me on this episode of Clown Takes from Boca Raton, Florida, by way of Centerville, Mass., is Jeremy Schilling. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good, Jason. Still deciding how I want to handle this, so I'm interested to see what my take is because we all might find out in real time.
Yeah, this one takes a lot of processing, so I don't blame you on that. Also with us on the show from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine, is Terry Cushman. Terry, how are you?
I am good as always. We were a little light last week on Clown Takes. We got our good one this week, so can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's not waste any time. Obviously, the Red Sox have had an up and down season. They're usually hovering around 500, kind of sniffing a wild card, but not really. Lots of injuries taking place. The roster construction has not been ideal, as we've stated many times on this show. So a lot of fans now find themselves in the camp of, am I going to continue to buy in, or are we punting on this season? Is it just not going to happen this year, and should we just kind of fold our tents and go home, right? And apparently, a certain radio host on 98.5 is ready to punt on this season and a big portion of your future as well. So this was an article from one Tony Maserati, who has been featured on Clown Takes before. So this is actually his second appearance on Clown Takes. He's now the, I think he's the leader in the clubhouse, actually. I think he's been on the most episode of Clown Takes. It's only two, but I'm sure there'll be more. He wrote an article for 985thesportshub.com. This was on June 4th. And the headline is, should the Red Sox consider a trade involving Rafael Devers? So immediately you kind of, your eyes kind of pop out of your head going, wow, like seriously, we're going to do that? And he kind of breaks it down into detail as to why he says it, you know, and his big sticking point is he wants the Red Sox to restock their pitching development program. He wants young pitching in the system. And he believes that a blockbuster trade involving Rafael Devers is the way to do that. And he kind of mentions how you've got Marcelo Mayer, Robin Anthony, Kyle Teal, they're all coming up. You've got all these, you know, young players in your minor leagues who are really impressing a lot of people. I mean, we've talked about it on this show that a lot of people already refer to Mayer, Anthony, and Teal as your big three, and they're all in Double A, so they're not even at the big leagues yet. But that's where a lot of Red Sox fans stand right now. They know that the ownership doesn't want to spend the money, and they're just kind of waiting on these three guys instead of investing in this season. So here comes Maz off the top rope just saying, well, why not trade Rafael Devers and see what you can get? So definitely an alarming headline, a sort of alarming take, especially from a guy in Maz who, I mean, I listen to him pretty much every day on the radio. I am, you know, hand up, I am a Felger and Maz homie, and I pretty much listen to him every day. Yep, Jeremy, same with you. I know that. And Maz has been one of these guys all year, pretty much, you know, not just this year, but the last couple of years, who says, don't punt on seasons. Do what you can to try and compete, get into the playoffs and see what happens. Because anything can happen once you get in. And I'm pretty sure, I don't quite remember, but I think he was in favor of the Rafael Devers extension. Again, he's your biggest superstar player. And the fans basically bullied John Henry into signing him, which he did. And another thing with Maz is that he always complains that the Red Sox have no juice, that, you know, you have no superstar appeal. Fans don't care because it's a bunch of no-name kids in the lineup. So his solution to that is to trade the one superstar you do have. I mean, at that point, you really are the Tampa Bay Rays of the Northeast. Just trade away all your superstars and call up all the kids. That's what he wants to do now. It just seemed to me like a weird 180 for a guy who has always been spend the money, go back to being a big market team, and compete for the playoffs. And now he wants to trade your best hitter. And it is kind of funny, though, that he publishes the article, and then the next day or 2 days later, whatever it was, Rafael Devers goes off, hits two home runs, you know, helps you beat the Atlanta Braves in the finale of that short series. So kind of some comedic and poetic timing there from Devers. But just a weird out of left field like idea that I don't know why he cooked it up. I don't know why he thinks it's worth doing, but I'm, as you can probably tell, I'm certainly not in favor of it. I don't like the optics of trading a guy 1 year into an 8-year extension that you just signed him to. And I don't think you're going to get, you know, you're not going to reset your entire pitching development program with one trade. So why do it? It just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Seemed very out of the blue coming from Maz. So Terry, I will toss it over to you. You read the article too. You've seen all the reaction to it. What are your thoughts on Maz basically proposing the Red Sox just trade away Rafi Devers for young pitching?
You look at a lot of the bad contracts out there. Xander Bogaerts is going to be making massive money through his age 41 season. And I think he's 30 or 31 right now, 32 at the most. Mookie Betts signed a massive deal that hasn't really aged poorly, but it had the impact they've wanted it to have? Not really, I would say. Only one trip to the World Series, and that was in the very first year of that deal. But he's going to be paid through age 40. I don't see that aging well from, you know, age 34 and beyond. In the case of Devers, you're only paying him through age 36. That's almost perfect. And the reason why I say almost perfect is because if you did it a year or two less than that, you're probably paying him 80 to 100 million less overall, you know, before arbitration. But they dragged their feet and ended up, you know, paying a little bit more. But still, it's a sustainable contract. It's a sustainable contract. And when he hit his first home run off of Aroldis Chapman, it was such a cool moment. But the even cooler thing is it's really set the tone for the rest of his career since then. Only two players in franchise history got to 100 home runs at age 25 or before. One of those was Ted Williams. I want to say the other one was Tony Conigliaro. Don't quote me on that. I'm not the best when it comes to, you know, overall history, but he's been elite. Another thing I love to go to here, and the sample sizes aren't the same, I'll admit that. David Ortiz, his postseason numbers over the course of his career, was a .289 hitter with a .404 on base and a .543 slugging percentage. So .289, .404, .543. Devers is hitting .303 with a .382 on base and a .573 slugging. So Devers presently is ahead of Poppy in two of those three categories. Now, I complain about the sample sizes. I mean, Devers has had nothing but trash around him since, you know, for the most part, 2018. Bogaerts and JD kind of hung around for a little while, but he just hasn't had the postseason opportunities. He's one of the most clutch guys I've seen since Poppy. Poppy is almost the prototype for Devers. I don't think Devers is going to get there. Because I don't think under Henry's ownership in the future, I think we'll still win a championship at some point in the next 12, 14 years, but it's not going to be at the same clip that Poppy was going to the postseason because the passion and the commitment to winning isn't nearly as intense. But how do you replace this guy? I mean, we're not paying him stupid money. It's just, it's dumb to me to try to get a trade package with guys that you just don't know. Devers is probably going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. you're probably not getting that back in the trade package. It's just absolutely dumb. And to Devers' credit, despite the fact we're out of it by mid-July every year, he still shows up. He still shows up, puts together a very good season, and he stays in shape. He comes to camp every year in very good shape. And I got no complaints. He's still doing his job. And the tragedy is we've got Dom Smith hitting on one side of him and Tyler O'Neill hitting on the other. And it's just, and we got all lefties. You can't put Casas behind him like you would want to, because, you know, the bullpens are going to, you're not going to be scoring runs late if you do that. So, under no circumstances whatsoever would I ever move Rafi Devers. And I think Devers is going to have a better career than Mookie Betts when all is said and done. He's going to have more home runs, more runs batted in, probably going to hit more doubles. And of all the guys you could have retained from that 2018 dynasty, I think Devers was the guy to do it. Devers can play in Boston. Mookie disappears in the postseason. 0 for 24 last postseason. Mookie Betts, 0 for 24. Didn't even get a hit.
And unlike Mookie, he wants to be here.
He does.
So that's part of it too. Jeremy, what do you think?
So I agreed with Terry along the ride there until he did two things. One, Devers is not in great shape.
I would say he is.
I
was watching him do his home run trot today and thought he was okay.
I disagree. I'm not saying come in like Tyler O'Neill, who's, you know, one step away from a CrossFit competition, but there's seemingly still some baby fat there. I think he could be a little bit healthier, and then he gets nicked up early in the year with a knee. You know, and he's obviously overcome that. I'm not going to repeat all the things you said because I agree with a large majority of it. But I do worry about the athlete into his 30s because I don't think he is in great shape. The second thing is that he's going to have a better career than Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts's impact on a baseball game is not comparable because defensively – he's an impact player.
I should have preferenced offensively. His offensive numbers will be better.
All right. So he's moving the needle, but not by much. Mookie is a plus player in multiple positions. He's a freak athletically, and he runs the bases and impacts the games multiple ways. Defensively, bases, offensively. As good of a hitter as Devers is, he has nowhere near the impact on a game-to-game basis the way Mookie Betts does. So in my opinion, that's a clown take. Now, the other clown take that I would have here is that there are no circumstances that I would trade Rafael Devers. While on the face of Tony's article, it's problematic and clown take-ish, you don't know what a package could potentially be for a guy like Devers. I have said this multiple times, and the language is going to appear in my version of our blog posted on the Bastards of Baseball blog coming out tomorrow morning. It only takes one dumb team. And if you're going to get an absolute haul, let's say two or three prospects pitching wise, a major league utility outfield to help right away, or somebody to plug into third base in the absence of Rafi, with maybe another middle defender prospect. And these are highly rated guys. I'd have to defer to Jason on that because he's got an encyclopedic memory of these players and I do not. Then I think it's reckless, given that there are two things that are a problem here. This team's not anywhere near winning, number one. And number two, and Terry, I'll ask you this question, Jason, you as well. What are the other assets that we have that could have a potential immediate impact on the organizational depth the way a Rafi Devers move could have. And obviously you don't know what the deal could be, but to say there's no circumstances is as ridiculous as Tony's article is on its face, because we don't have any other way to accelerate the program here, guys. We got no other option. Tanner Houck, it's been great this year. The facial fracture next year, I think there are doubts about his longevity with his arm slot and all those sorts of things. There's no other, unless you're going to package Teal and Meyer and those guys, you're not, and that's not going to happen, by the way. How else are we going to accelerate things? So while on its face, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. If I'm at the deadline and I'm Breslow, I'm fielding calls. And if he is traded, I expect a massive amount of prospects, including high-end prospects. And if that's the case, I'm not necessarily disturbed by the idea that if these are guys that can accelerate the program, then go accelerate the program, because we have Devers for 10 more years. The next three look like they're burnt, and I'm not so convinced he's going to have Poppy-level success into his 30s.
I just, the worry that I have is, particularly when you trade for pitching prospects, are they always going to translate at the major league level? Because oftentimes these guys, yeah, exactly. So oftentimes these guys are top rated prospects, and then they get to the big leagues and they don't necessarily get blown up, but they're not great either. And it, you know, maybe they just can't hack it. You know, I mean, again, this was more of a Red Sox thing than anything else, but you know, we drafted Jake Roehm in the top 20 one year. Look what happened with that guy. And you know, and there's other examples. I mean, the Washington Nationals, when they traded Juan Soto, got Mackenzie Gore back. Now Mackenzie Gore looks pretty good, but is he, you know, putting together the type of year that like Tarik Skubal is doing for the Tigers, or even what Garrett Crochet is doing for the White Sox? Not quite. He's been okay, but he's not defining himself as an ace out there. And he's been up in the big leagues 2 years now. He was the big prize for the Juan Soto trade. The other guy that got CJ Abrams, pretty decent shortstop, but he's hitting like 250. I mean, he's not a superstar. So there's no guarantee. This is my biggest problem with the whole just wait on Mayer, Anthony, and Teal. What if one of those three guys is a stud and the other two suck? What if Teal is, you know, the next Adley Rutschman, but Marcelo Mayer can't hit and Roman Anthony can't hit. And you waited all these years for these guys, and you trade away Rafi Devers on the promise and the idea that those three guys would lead you into the future. I hate that mentality of, we can trade away a guy who is a certified superstar at the major league level because we believe these three guys are going to be the same thing when they come up. They're in Double A right now. We have no clue. We don't even know if they can hack it at the Triple A level, let alone at the big league level. And you're going to trade away Devers on the idea that they're all going to hit? I mean, that's just a type of gambling that I cannot get behind. I'm sorry, I can't. I want to be as excited as Tyler Milliken taking his shirt off on Twitter every time Marcelo Mayer draws a walk. But I can't do it because I need to see him do it at the big league level. I don't care that you can draw a walk and hit a home run in Double A. There are so many Jomokes who have come through this league that can do that. You know, guys like Bobby Dalbec could do it. Rusney Castillo was a Triple A superstar. Couldn't hack it at the big league level. And I get it. He was a different circumstance. He was a signing, not a draft pick, but whatever. Devers has shown you he has superstar level talent. And even, you know, I don't know if he'll have a better offensive career than Mookie Betts right now. It's really hard because Mookie Betts got a 3-year head start on him. So you can't compare them now because Mookie's numbers are way ahead of him to begin with. You know, Mookie's older. He got a head start. So it's hard to compare those two. But the thing that with Devers is that, okay, so maybe physically in a couple of years, he can't play third base. All right, then he's your DH. I think he'll hold up as a DH. I don't think the power and all that's going to go away. So you have a good contract on your hands. It's one of like the few things John Henry's done really well. He extended a superstar and he didn't, I don't think he overpaid and he didn't overextend 8 years. He didn't give an 11-year contract like the stupid Padres did to Bogarts. He kept it a pretty reasonable deal. So why are we trading away one of the best superstar contracts we've ever signed for, let's say three minor league pitchers, whether they're top 10 prospects or whatever, who may or may not work out at the big league level? I feel like that has a chance to be the most disastrous trade in Red Sox history. You trade away Devers and you get three guys back, and if none of them can pitch at this level, yikes. That is catastrophic at that point. So, yes, there's always a chance. Yes, if Breslow is going to get calls at the deadline, of course he is. But I hope he basically says, I want 1, 2, and 3. I want 1, 2, and 3 out of your system. Other than that, click, hang up the phone. Because I don't know why otherwise he would do it.
And look, I don't know what the structure of the deal would be to make it work. Breslow should not be under any pressure to actually move him. And nothing I said related to the big three in our minor league system. I don't think that's a factor at all. I've said many times, prospects are that until they prove it at the big league level. You know, this is not a black and white situation. And I'm not saying Tony's right, because at no point does Tony, in what I read, propose a deal that would make me want to pull the trigger. He just brings up the topic. And the topic is something Breslow should be considering. And look, it may take a third team and other players to manipulate the situation where you're getting prospects from multiple organizations where you can't say no, especially if you do count on those guys coming up and you increase the number of high-end prospects. That it's a numbers game. If you have three top prospects, the odds are one of them is going to be a big league player. If you have seven or eight big league prospects, the odds are two or three are going to be a good player, and I'd rather have that over one player, and we're not going to be good anytime soon. So let me be very clear. I'm not taking a bright line stance on Tony's take one way or the other. I think the idea is something to consider, but you have to evaluate the set of circumstances on a particular deal before you call it a clown take. And again, I'll hand up. I don't know minor leagues beyond the Red Sox, and even that's pretty thin. Like, Jason's got some crazy brain about prospects out in Kansas City. Like, I don't know what he does in his free time other than read like Baseball America, but it's not a black and white situation. And it's going to be tremendously pressurized for Breslow if he makes a deal, because if it doesn't work out quickly, he's going to be gone. He could be gone for other reasons as well. But, you know, I'm talking about the idea of stockpiling as many high-end prospects, including, look, Devers is good enough to potentially include a big league player back. That would be a plug and play, so there's not such a dramatic drop-off. If you could add that type of thing with a number of prospects, pitching prospects, guys that throw hard, you know, I don't know anything about minor league players, but I think it's something you have to consider. We have no other assets, guys. How else, Jason, let me ask you a question, and because you know the system top to bottom better than anybody I've ever met. What's the other package besides the one player here, Devers, that could accelerate the program like Devers could?
I mean, potentially Tanner Houck with some other pieces thrown in. He's your only other big league.
No one's going to trust his health long term. No one.
Somebody will. As you said, all it takes is one dumb team, right?
One dumb team. Yeah, right. Yep. He's still, against me now.
He's still under 30. He's having a career year, and a lot of teams will believe in his pedigree. He was, highly sought after as a young amateur. So Tanner Houck is the only one, though. Yeah, and if he were to be healthy, Tristan Casas, but he's part of your future, so that doesn't count.
So let's dive back into it. So when I say Devers is in great shape for the player he is, for his physique, he is in great shape. Go back to 2019, his first full season where they committed to him. He was the third baseman all season. 156 out of 162 games. 2020, 57 out of 60. 2021, 156 out of 162. 2022, well, he had an off year. 141 out of 162. Never will see that out of a Tyler O'Neill type guy, and even some other players in Red Sox history. Jacoby Ellsbury, you know, tons of them. 2023, 153 out of 162 games. This is a player who's not a crybaby, who goes out there and he does his job. Only four errors on this season. I think that speaks to him being in pretty good shape for not being a guy who's a great defender. He's getting it done this year defensively at third base.
I agree with your point, Terry, and the numbers don't lie 100%. I agree. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to turn it back to you. Was Ortiz an anomaly late into his 30s? I mean, he had
the heel problem, right? Well, he had the heel problem, but he never really missed a ton of time. And the seasons he did, we were out of it. I think 2012, he missed some games. And then, and I want to say 2014 as well. But that's the other thing that gives me confidence. He will be a DH someday, and I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. The second thing, Jeremy, if you want to get into clown takes, I sat through you telling me Connor Wong was absolutely untouchable. And yeah, I'll trade Kyle Teal, the best player in the minor leagues in all of May. Absolutely not. I mean, to say he's untouchable, but Devers is. And quite frankly, some of these prospects might net you a bigger haul than Devers himself, because not every team's going to pay Devers what he's owed. And the Red Sox aren't eating money on a guy like Devers. Devers is a generational talent. You can disagree with me on my Mookie to Devers comparison. I know Devers is going to have far more robust offensive numbers than Mookie Betts will. Their age 36 seasons, Devers is going to be far more robust. So, I mean, you can't trade Raffy Devers. You just can't do it. And here's one other thing. I'm a Mookie Betts trade survivor. That trade was supposed to jumpstart the Red Sox. Here we are. We might not make the playoffs next year. We might not make the playoffs six seasons after we traded Mookie Betts. Another reason I'm not trading Raffy Devers. And hey, let's get into the optics of it. What would that... If the Red Sox are officially no longer a big market team, there's no reason to expect them to ever be a big market team if they trade Raffy Devers.
Okay, I said Wong is completely untouchable.
Basically, yeah, you said there's no situation whatsoever that you would trade Connor Wong at the deadline. And when I defended you, kind of, because I said my exact words from my stance was, I don't have a dog in the fight. If you want to commit to Connor Wong and trade Kyle Teal, that's fine. I said, but if you're going to commit to Teal, you better get a nice piece back for Wong at the deadline. And that's still my stance right now.
Okay, so my recollection of that conversation was, a bird in the hand is worth way more than two in the bush. And if you have Wong, who's a proven major league player, I would not trade him when it comes to promoting Teal to take his place. And my recollection of that was that's where it ended. I mean, I'm never completely eliminate the opportunity to move a player. Like if someone comes to you with a starting pitcher and a high end prospect for Wong, I think that's something you have to discuss. I'd want to know who the players are, but I want to say no player is untouchable on this roster, in my opinion. No one. I mean, we're not good enough to have an untouchable player. Devers is as close to that as we can have, and I do agree with that part of the point. But to say that without evaluating a possible deal, he's completely untouchable, I think it doesn't take into account the state of the organization. And look, Terry, to be very clear, I don't think Devers is going to be traded. I don't want him to be traded. I like the player. I like that he plays the game with a smile. Everyone seems to like him. He's clutch. I don't think he's ever going to be David Ortiz clutch, but your point is well made that David had so many opportunities to be clutch, and he was in the biggest moments to the point where he, you know, I mean, he might have, he has like six of the top eight moments of the whole 120-year history of the Red Sox. I don't think Devers is going to be that level. He's going to continue to be a good player. But, I mean, if you're going to come to me with an opportunity where, based on the evaluation, you have a chance to stockpile assets, I don't think you keep Devers because year 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, they're going to be good, because there's no guarantee that's going to happen. Look at the Orioles. I mean, not every team is Houston. Or the Orioles have been rebuilding for like effectively 15 years. And so if you can take a player, your only major asset, and jumpstart the rebuild or accelerate it, again, I'm not saying do it. I'm saying I want to know what the prospects are, and maybe it's a possibility. So, I mean, no one's untouchable. No one. Let me be very clear. I my take on Wong, as I recall it, was limited to promoting Teal to take Wong's spot without Teal having any – there's no forecast on what he's going to be. So for that purpose, I'm a Wong guy. But to me, look, the core of this team is Duran, Wong, Devers, Cassis, as far as offensive players. And that is literally it.
Jason, question for you, and this could be what finally buries it. Who's the number one? Who's the number one prospect in all of baseball? Do you know? Plays for the Orioles.
Holiday.
Jeremy knows. Holiday. Oh yeah. My goodness, Jeremy pulled that out of his rear end.
Number one prospect, Terry, stop attacking.
All right. Okay. So Jackson Holiday. So if the Orioles came to you and said, "We'll give you Jackson Holiday, the number one position player prospect, and Grayson Rodriguez, essentially the highest end pitching." I don't know if you can call him a prospect now because he's a rookie, but if you're offered those two players for Raffy Devers, what do you say?
Probably no.
No, I need more. Absolutely not.
I agree. I agree it's a no.
There's no other package that makes sense then, is what I'm getting at.
I started the preface. Terry, you're saying that I just say trade Raffy. That's not what I said. I think I started with saying it takes one dumb team.
That's the best possible
package. I don't know. I'm not an executive.
I'm telling you right now, that's the best possible package. And
all right,
it's a no.
You're Nostradamus and I'm a dipshit. But I'm saying, like, I don't know what. And I, by the way, if it's Devers, I don't want one or two guys. I want volume guys. And that's why you might have to involve a third team and other players. I want volume guys. I want pitching. I want hitting. I want speed. I want defense. It has to be volume. I'm not saying trade Raffy Devers, guys. Let's not misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm saying if the right package is proposed and there's a dumb team or two dumb teams and you can package some guys and get volume, I'm just not automatically saying it's a no. I'm saying, can we evaluate who they are? Because if it accelerates the program, then let's accelerate the program. And I swore there, and I know I'm not supposed to, and I apologize for that. Dixie's backsies on the swear.
That's like I said, that's probably the best possible package. Some mid-level guys might get added in, but thought I had one more thing, but I don't know. It slipped.
So real quick, so go back to something you said a while ago, but just because it's just fun to go back and look at it. You asked, is David Ortiz, was he an anomaly later in his career? I think he really was. His age 40 season, his last year in baseball, 2016, age 40. Keep in mind, his feet are a complete mess by this point. The guy can barely walk, plays 151 games, 315, 38 homers, 48 doubles, even had two stolen bases that year somehow. I don't know how that happened, but he stole two bases. So he was an anomaly. So I don't think it's more than likely that Devers will not have an age 40 season like Ortiz did. Now, can he do that age 36, the final year of his contract? Probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah, probably, especially if by then he's probably full-time DHing. Yeah, absolutely. And then the other point, so, okay, you want volume players. I get that, right? But the point that Maz was saying, he wants to stock it with young pitching. He wants top pitching prospects. My whole point is they don't always work. Paul Skeens is working right now in Pittsburgh, but he was also the first overall draft pick, what, 2 years ago, last year? So, you know, you knew that he was going to be good. A good example of this is Kyle Harrison with the Giants. So Kyle Harrison in 2021 was their number 8 prospect. In 2022, he was their number 4 prospect. Last year, he was their number 1 prospect, and people were calling him the best pitching prospect in all of baseball. So far, in the major leagues, he's made 20 starts. He's 5-4 with an ERA just over 4. This year, he's 1-1 ERA just over 4. So he's not blowing the world away. He's not doing what Paul Skeens is doing. He's just kind of okay. He's not a phenom. He's not doing what McClanahan did when he first came up, you know, way back in the day when Price first came up. He's not doing that. It's not a guarantee. Now, maybe the second half of this season, Kyle Harrison turns into a stud and he is in Cy Young, you know, consideration. But we just don't know that yet. So even if you're asking for a volume of players, the other thing with that too is there's only so many players a team is going to give up for one guy. And maybe you're trading Devers and someone else, right? So if you're attaching, you know, I don't know, your number 10 prospect with Devers, or you're attaching a guy like Valdez or whatever, right? Fine. But you're not going to get more than probably 3 or 4. At some point, the other team's going to go, okay, now you're asking for too many guys. Like, we're not trading you our whole farm for one player, even if you do attach some of your own guys to it. So, yes, I understand, like, you want to accelerate the program, because I agree. I don't think the Red Sox are going to be good for a while. I agree with that point. But you can only accelerate it so much. You can't do it overnight, even by trading Rafi Devers. It's just, it doesn't work that way. Teams have tried to do it. The Yankees tried to do it years ago, that 2015 fire sale they had where they traded away everybody and got all prospects back. Did they win a World Series from that? Nope. Sure didn't. So it just...
They were good again pretty quickly, though.
They were good, but they didn't win. And now they're saddled with a bunch of bad contracts because they went back to doing what they usually do. That may be their own fault. I don't know. I don't think it's feasible. I don't think it's feasible to do what you're asking, which is put Rafi Devers out there on a lure and say, hey, we're willing to trade him, but we want at least 4 or 5 players to restock our farm system with for this one guy. Yes, a lot of teams are stupid, but they're going to go, yeah, we're not giving up that many guys. We're not doing that.
Let me be very, 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 very clear. I'm not saying put him out there on a lure. Okay, I'm not.
You've got him at the airport. You're on the tarmac with him right now, Jeremy.
No, I'm not.
I swear I saw you calling an Uber for him in the middle of the recording.
No. That was Mac Jones. I would have driven that guy to the airport. Look, I'm just proposing the alternative scenario that there's a team that's dumb enough to call with way too much and you can't say no. That's it. Tony's take on its face is, it's lazy. At the very minimum, it's lazy. There's no proposition in the article that says, let's do this. Naming players, naming an organization, naming, you know, whatever it would be so you could further evaluate it. He's just putting it out there as a topic. And look, to be very clear, I don't think Devers is going anywhere. I think Devers will eventually be a Red Sox Hall of Famer and potentially a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer in a Red Sox uniform. I'm just saying, given the current state of the Red Sox, you don't foreclose the idea that someone calls Breslow. Breslow's not calling people. People are calling Breslow. And they offer something that's like stupid because it happens. It does happen. So I'm not saying trade Devers. I'm not. I'm just saying if a team is dumb enough to potentially give you a chance to overhaul your organization with a volume of talent And again, I've also admitted that it may take other prospects. It may take other teams. That's all I'm saying. That's it.
So, Terry, there's only one other package I can think of that I would consider if a team, if that dumb team does emerge. And this team can be pretty dumb, I think. They've proven it in the past. But if you get a call from Pittsburgh and they say, we'll give you Skeens, O'Neill Cruz, and Brian Reynolds for Rafi Devers.
I would take it, but we're on crack for offering that.
Yeah.
And I don't
Skeens
like
looks generational.
I'm not an O'Neill Cruz guy. I know Charlie is, but it is what it is. He's hitting in the eight hole for a reason right now. I just want to preface one last thing here. All winter long in this free agency period, I said, all we need, give me two number three or better starting pitchers and give me two decent right-handed at-bats. If that gets done, so let's say Giolito doesn't get hurt and you get Jordan Montgomery. Let's say those are the two. And then you get Jorge Soler and Teoscar Hernandez or Lourdes Gurriel, whatever. You're probably 5 or 6 games above 500 right now. And you're probably buyers at the deadline with some guys that are expendable to improve your team. So I don't buy that we're 2 or 3 years away. We're only 2 or 3 years away because we're choosing to be. And that's infuriating.
Totally agree with that. Wow. Yeah. I mean, let me be very clear. My preference is for John Henry to get off his yacht, stop watching European soccer, NASCAR, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and spend a little bit of money. I'm not asking him to be reckless. I'm asking, and I've said this many times, go give Breslow a budget north of 225 and let him find some players that plug major holes while we wait for the younger guys to supplement a productive big league roster. That's my preference. I don't want to trade Devers. I can't be any more clear on that. So if we go into the trade deadline and sell, which is what's going to happen, I don't care what our record's going to be, and Henry's booed at another Bruins game into making some moves and gives Breslow $50 million, I think that's the move. Now, I don't know what this offseason Snell, Montgomery, you know, options are going to be, but I would much rather that. Because if you're wrong, all it costs is money. It doesn't cost prospects. The pipeline's not affected. You can do both. You own the network that broadcasts your games and 5 other major league teams and a newspaper and blah, 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 blah. My preference is for ownership to get the head out of their goddamn ass, spend reasonably, keep your established big league talent, including Wong and Devers, and be competitive next year, because it's possible if ownership supports that narrative. They won't and will continue to suck.
So there's a great, I don't go on it nearly enough, but there's a great Twitter account out there called Red Sox Payroll. And in its pinned tweet, you can see their master spreadsheet of what our payroll is this year, what we have on the books for next year and the year after that. So currently we're sitting at $224 million. So that's, I don't know, that's about $15 million under the luxury tax. What do you think we're at next year? What do you think's on the books?
Ooh, probably just north of 200. Is it? It's got to be less.
It's definitely less.
It might be like 190, 190, 195.
$153 million is all that's on the books. If the Red Sox don't spend this winter, if we have to hear that payroll's going to be lower, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what the market looks like. I don't know. I don't think it's great as far as starting pitching goes. I think it's a weak market this winter. But, man, we've got money to spend. And if they choose to suck again...
Well, that goes to the idea that maybe you should sign Pivetta. If he's going to be one of the top options, go get him now.
If you can do right? it,
I mean, your top free agents could be guys that are in your clubhouse.
Well, like, I mean, you need to still. That's we're not going to improve drastically. I mean, you're making yourself, you're giving yourself a little bit of stability, I guess, but you still have to acquire some guys.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
You're going to have Hauk and Bayo for sure. Most likely Giolito back from the bracing. I'm still nervous about that because Rich Hill's the only American pitcher that's ever had the bracing done as a starter. So we'll see. But yeah, so realistically, we might only need one more starter. If you can get Pivetta and then another guy, that's not a bad rotation. But
no, and ultimately that's what leads to, you know, speculation like this, and that's what leads to, you know, articles like that being written, is because even Maz recognizes the owners aren't spending. They're not spending. So, you know, he's doing what we all just did. It's like trying to find a way to get this team back into contention. And it was an extreme idea, but again, it's like, well, the ownership's giving you nothing. This is what you're left with, is trying to figure out what to do with your own pieces. And as you guys just mentioned, probably extending some of those guys is the right way to go. Beyond that, I mean, they've got to spend. If you have that much to go, like if you're down to 153 after this season, there's zero excuse. That is like embarrassingly low. So it just, well, it's got to happen.
My last take on Maserati's article is he doesn't address the lineup. Like, we're just talking like this is a pitching problem. We have a top five starting rotation based on the numbers. The bullpen has improved over the first month of the season. It's not just a pitching problem, guys. In fact, I would say we have a right-handed hitting problem and organizational depth, not only in power, but on base percentage. So we have a bunch of holes to plug, and I don't see a bunch of options out there as to how to quickly fix it. So.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, you have no middle infield right now. Not really. I mean, I know Hamilton's starting to pick it up a little bit. Valdez can run into one every now and then, but, you know, we're not, even next season, you're not going to rely on Trevor Story to stay healthy. And who the hell is going to play second base next season? Is it going to be Grissom, or is he going to continue to get hurt? So
I'll tell you, that would be a clown take, someone that comes out of the woodwork to say that Story is going to be healthy and a contributor next year. There's no basis for that. And anyone that says that, I will come at. That's ridiculous.
It's going to be the plan, though. I mean, I don't want him either.
Well, that's an ownership plan. No one's going to buy it. And anyone that does is frankly an idiot. I mean,
people are going to buy it. There's going to be
calling them morons.
Someone on that side of Twitter.
I'll root for it. I like Trevor Story's. It would be a great story. Win comeback player of the year and all that. But if I hear people saying that, like, we're going to count on this player, are you out of your goddamn mind? And what is your basis to have that position? Because you don't have one that's colorable. It's not. There's no way.
Well, if he was healthy and that didn't go down the way it did, I mean, your defense is obviously better, but he and Tyler O'Neill would be in the strikeout race of the century on this roster. So I don't think it, even having him now healthy is really a game changer. But, you know, we're going to start. And then for better or worse, guess what? You're going to have 4 months of Marcelo Meyer next year. So hopefully he's just awesome and lives up to the hype, but he's going to be in your middle infield next year.
I will call it right now. Someone on that side of Red Sox Twitter, some point either this winter, may even happen later this summer, is going to tweet out. They're going to tweet out a big thing with Trevor Story's picture on it saying, "Trevor Story, 2025 comeback player of the year. Just you wait. We ride. Let's go." Something stupid like that. Someone's going to do it.
I hope they're right. There's no basis for that opinion.
Agreed. So with that, I think we can wrap up this episode of Clown Takes. I think we did a pretty thorough job clowning that one. So felt pretty good to get that out of our systems. Everyone enjoy the White Sox series this weekend, and we will talk to you all next week. Take care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.